Welcome to CBT News with Jim Fitzpatrick.
Hello, everyone. Jim Fitzpatrick, CBT News. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Volvo made headlines after announcing its plans to go fully electric, with sales moving solely online by year 2030. And today, we are continuing the conversation to dive into what this will mean for dealers. On today's show, we're pleased to welcome back Mr. Don Hall, who's president and CEO of the Virginia Automobile Dealers Association. Don, thank you again for taking the time out of your schedule to join us here on CBT News. It is always a pleasure catching up with you.
Jim, thank you for the opportunity to speak. And I think these are important subjects these days about EVs, about factory selling direct,
and
so forth. These are important.
That's right. No, I know. In fact, you're one of those guys out there in the country that's kind of been, you know, running up the hill with this flag and saying, hey, dealers, wake up, because, you know, today it's Tesla, tomorrow it's Toyota selling directly to consumers, and dealers need to pay attention. We've talked a lot about it with you and others here on CBT News. It looks like Volvo has come out and boldly said, hey, we see no problem with this. We're going to take orders online and then send the consumer to their local Volvo dealership. So, and I know that you along with a couple of other states have sent a letter to Volvo saying, hey, time out a minute. Let's discuss this, because we have some issues with it. What are those issues?
Well, there's much I can say, and I'll try to be succinct in my comments today. First of all, we did send a letter off to Volvo and remind them there are statutes, not only in our state, but in most states, that would prohibit a manufacturer with franchisees from selling direct.
Right.
Now, Volvo, you know, comes back and says, look, we really didn't mean that. We're going to work with you, we're our partners, yada, and so forth. And oftentimes, you can only evaluate based on what they say and what they do, or rather what they do really and truly, rather than what they're saying.
Yeah.
I don't think these are evil, wicked people, but the fact of the matter is that there's no question that whether it's from Sweden or from Japan or from Korea or from wherever, the push these days, Detroit, the push these days is to do things around the franchise system if and when and where possible. I think, if I can for a moment, Jim, something we ought to talk about or think about. So why is it they want to do that? And you and I could spend an hour on this subject, maybe some other time. So why is that?
Right.
What have we done that has precipitated this kind of mentality from manufacturers?
Sure.
And I think that's sort of the more probing question or subject matter. What have we done, or rather, what have we not done that would give them the impression that they can do a better job of contacting and dealing with customers than what we do? And there is some opportunity for growth on our part. There's an opportunity to embrace some change on our part.
Sure.
There is also some opportunity for the franchisors, the manufacturers, to understand the nature of the world we deal in, and also know their failures in the past, well documented, trying to sell cars has not worked. Wholesaling is different than retailing.
Right.
But I think both sides need a little bit of a timeout to say, okay, what do we need to do to be better at what we do? And at the same time, you know, manufacturers understand clearly that this will not work long term. Oh, you might sell a hot model that nobody can get, you know, direct, but it won't work long term, and it's not sustainable with all your models across the line.
Right, right. Off the top of your head, why do you think that they have moved to this or trying to move to this model? What are some of the things that you think we can do better at as dealers or as a dealer body? So that the manufacturers say, no, let's leave this alone. It's not, why, you know, fix something that's not broken?
Jim, just like your organization or the VADA or any dealership, we all have younger people working in organizations. Mm-hmm. Those younger people have a different way of problem solving, approaching things, embracing technologies, and so forth. We have a solemn obligation to listen to that and not allow ourselves to be, you know, become dinosaurs. I overuse that term a lot, but be so antiquated that we're operating as if we're 1990, if you will. And I think to some degree, I think manufacturers are subject to that same thing. They get a lot of young people coming in that come in with, you know, great education and so forth, saying, hey, boss, we can sell direct. We can do these things. Look at what Tesla's doing. Look at their success.
Right.
And the fact of the matter is this. We certainly want to listen to the younger people, but, you know, let us not forget our experience and what the history has been. And factories don't do a very good job retailing. Ultimately, consumers will wake up and recognize buying direct from a Tesla, as an example, does not provide a competition. It does not provide an opportunity to have the best price,
right,
the best trade-in value, the best financing options, and so forth. And so I think, you know, Volvo and many others have got to take a step back and say, you know, I appreciate what you're saying, but our franchise system works well. And you spoke early on, I think Toyota embodies a lot of where franchisors need to be. I know you've had some Toyota experience in your career as well, to know that, that Toyota, not perfect, but certainly understands clearly
the role of a dealer, very pro dealer. Very, you know, they really have designed an incredible, you know, company around the needs of the franchise dealer, without a doubt.
So I think to answer your question directly, I think in terms of what we need to do is this. I still have peers. I certainly still have dealers in Virginia, and there are certainly dealers nationwide are saying, and even as early as yesterday with an OEM, saying, Don, you know full well that EVs are not going to take over. You know full well this is not going to happen. EVs, I mean, right now, if you read Automotive News, it says by 2026, internationally, globally, about half all cars being sold in 26.
26.
A few years away.
Exactly. That's crazy.
EVs.
Right.
But here's the problem. We cannot, we don't know if it's going to be true or not, but we sure as hell want to be prepared to do that.
Right.
And as a dealer body and industry, we need to embrace the concept and make sure that not only the consumers out there that are buying cars or the OEMs that are manufacturing them understand clearly, we're wedded to only one thing, taking care of our customers and make sure they have a wonderful buying experience.
Right.
Whether that's an ICE engine that you produce for us or an EV, it does not matter.
Right.
We will embrace EVs. We're all about it. Yes, there are some issues about what will service look like and so forth. But one thing about this industry that you and I have had the privilege of being in for the majority of our adult lives is this. We are extraordinarily resilient, and we will learn to deal with whatever cards are being dealt. And if that means less in service, then it's less in service. But one thing's for sure, the ICE engine, regardless of a phase out, will be around for a long time in people's hands.
Yeah. Have you had an opportunity, I'm sure you have, to speak to some Volvo dealers in Virginia to get their take on it? What are they up in arms? Are they okay with it? Where do they stand on this?
One of the unique roles that me and my peers nationwide play is this. You can, as a dealer, you can be and indeed should be totally candid about your feeling about your manufacturer.
Sure.
Because it helps us understand.
Right.
What we're not asking you to do is to go out and say those things publicly.
Right.
I would say that Volvo dealers, Volvo customers have been a unique breed for a long time and have done very well. That Volvo dealers are prepared to embrace, you know, many of the changes, but they want to be a part of this. They have been with Volvo when things weren't so great, and they want to continue on supporting not only their customers, but also the manufacturer. So to answer your question directly, the dealers want the ability to sell EVs. They want to be able to have the EV that everybody wants. They want to be able to sell them, not as someone who just does a courtesy delivery.
Yeah.
They have spent a lot of money on infrastructure, building facilities,
right,
make sure they have things in place. And so they want to make sure they're a part of this process and not where a manufacturer cherry picks, well, let's just take this one particular model, we're going to sell that direct, and oh, by the way, we'll pay you a handling fee, a courtesy fee.
Yeah.
This is not a role that dealers would embrace, nor should they have to. And oh, how quickly manufacturers forget, when times get tough, it is those dealers
on the front lines,
manufacturers afloat.
That's right. Recalls and inventories and the whole deal. So so to kind of jump on a different track here, we just finished another great quarter in the auto industry. Looks like we're in, things have not really slowed down too much, although the one dealer is calling a chipdemic instead of a pandemic, we're still dealing with that. What do you see out there from your viewpoint? Another great year ahead?
Yeah, thanks, Jim, for asking. First of all, I am exceedingly happy for our dealer body nationwide and here in Virginia, obviously.
Yeah.
They've enjoyed some of the most profitable months that they've, in many cases, have ever had.
Yeah.
It's unique because many of us who have ever taken any kind of economics in school, you know, the old the law of supply and demand.
That's right.
You know, the less to supply, the greater demand, you know, equals more profitability.
That's right.
The irony is, I really wish the manufacturers could figure out some way to dial this in, because we can keep dealers very profitable, which means dealers are doing well, they take care of their customers well, manufacturers right. are doing well also, but by having huge, massive surplus of inventory, which then, as a result, the demand is less, you've got huge supply, profitability isn't great.
That's right.
How if we could just learn from this experience. And so dealers are optimistic, and unfortunately, as you know all too well, you know, there is limited supply, and that will continue on for a while longer. So the profitability will still be there. What's been fascinating to me is this, and I've spoken with the largest dealer in the Commonwealth of Virginia to some of our smaller dealers all yeah. across the board, is that customers understand and are in fact and indeed are not complaining about paying that higher price.
Yeah.
And so they get it and they understand it. It also maybe slightly makes the argument for one price selling, that customers, if there is value, don't mind paying one price.
That's right.
Because today, by and large, customers are indeed paying one price, mm-hmm. and that is MSRP price.
That's right. That's right.
And so maybe it is the argument, and I've got some dealers that have embarked upon that road. They did it years ago. They've gone back to it. But maybe that's part of what we're learning here, too. A limited supply and a one price system seems to equal happy customers, happy manufacturers, and obviously profitable, happy dealers and their staff as well.
That's right. That's right. It should be said that, you know, with all of the negotiations that takes place on a showroom floor, it's not about the value of the vehicle as much as it is the fact that consumers feel, well, I don't want to pay more than the person that comes in after me. I don't want to pay more than the person that came in before me. And of course, you know, the first thing you're taught when you're a child is go into a car dealership and negotiate. You know, that you can knock off thousands of dollars by doing that. And we've done that to ourselves in the industry for sure, because we've given into that over the years, and I understand why. But you can imagine, you know, if that were not the case, much like a CarMax, as you mentioned earlier, you know, there's no negotiation taking place there. We see other publicly traded companies following suit in that. AutoNation, of course, with AutoNation USA stores, and Sonic with Echo Park stores and their used car inventories across their different dealerships. There's no negotiation, which, you know, it looks like maybe we're finally making big inroads in that direction in the auto industry, right?
We are, and in fact, I would say to the dealers that are not paying attention, wake up, pay yeah. attention. Because I think what's happened is maybe, you know, people my age, your age, my age, are sort of used to negotiating. It's
sure.
sort of the way we've grown up.
Yep.
But the fact is, there's a whole lot of folks in their 40s and 30s and 20s who find it very distasteful
yes.
to negotiate.
That's right.
And in fact, that's why Amazon has created this model that they've got. You
that's
pay
right.
their price and they deliver. That's why Tesla has sold so many vehicles. You pay their price and they deliver.
That's right.
And so maybe at the end of the day, what has happened here, and thank goodness we've had some good examples as you just articulated,
yeah.
that it's time we say, you know, look, customers don't want to negotiate. Give them a fair price.
Yep.
Give them a huge amount of value for that price.
That's right.
Take care of them. But remember, as I always say, take care of first and foremost those who work for you.
Yeah.
So they are inclined to take care of your customers that you've worked so hard to get to come into your store to begin with.
That's right, that's right. Hey, changing gears once again, talk to us about your upcoming convention. I know that's a big deal every year, and now it's gonna be back in person. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, I tell you, there are dealers who love going to conventions. There are some that are sort of ambivalent about it, and some would say, oh, I would never go, I don't have the time, I'm too busy.
Too busy. I'm too busy. I'm too busy to go learn new things about my industry.
Correct.
Right.
At the end of the day, these are your associations.
Right.
And their goal and their responsibility is to provide you an environment that is stimulating, that is helpful to your business, helpful to your senior management that you choose to send.
Yep.
It's helpful to your association, but having great speakers and so forth. In fact, one of the things we're really pleased about is you and I are actually going to be one of the, we're going to produce, if you will, a kind of a Q&A back and forth. You're a man who has a lot of experience in this business. You've been a dealer, you've been in the business, and we're gonna give a chance for the dealers to be able to come up with questions and make comments. Again, to cause us to sort of get out of our comfort zone a little bit.
Sure.
And think about, we know where we are today in this business, But where are we going? This is not a business where you can continue to stay the way you've always been.
That's right.
So the purpose of our convention, it happens to be the end of June this year at the Homestead, which is in Virginia, so people can drive easily.
Yeah.
But the purpose is to cause them to say, hey, wow, I hadn't thought about that. We have some, as you would expect, some great speakers, you know, coming in to do that, to you know, here's what's going on. Have you thought about these kinds of things? So conventions can be and should be a wonderful opportunity for dealers to network, to learn,
to
feel good about their association, because this is indeed the only group of people that represent you in legislatures, before government, before factories and so forth,
as
your associations.
Also, just getting back to talk to other fellow dealers, you know, and finding out what's been working, what's not working, what are the, you know, what are the challenges that face dealers today? And obviously, we're in an entirely new normal. I know that that's way overused, but it really applies today. You know, what impact has the pandemic had? What's the EV revolution looks like? One price selling, you know, all of these things that dealers are faced with. It's great to sit, you know, in a room with, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 other dealers to say, what's working for you, you know? And conventions like yours give those dealers the opportunity to do just that. Because I know that when I was a dealer and I was running dealerships, I did live in somewhat of a cocoon unless I went to a Dealer 20 meeting, you know, which was a couple of times a year. And I always got a lot out of it. I mean, I highly recommend those. But this gives you an opportunity to talk to, you know, not just 19 other dealerships, but 50, 100, and find out what's working and what's not, you know, and how they're dealing with things. Because these are very unique times we're in.
And on that note, I mean, obviously we all have mega dealers these days that are not necessarily involved in the day to day in the way that they were, you know, 20 years ago.
That's right. That's right. When they were building their businesses.
I say to our brothers and sisters that are mega dealers, look, you certainly have general managers and senior management team members who can benefit from this experience.
Absolutely.
And if you say, well, associations or conventions are a waste of my time and energy, then you have an obligation to reach out to that association executive and say, we need to change these to make sure they are indeed serving our needs as dealers.
That's right.
And so that is our role here. These are about you. They're not about us. They're about you, the dealers. They're about your senior managers using their time wisely, but a good chance to network in an industry that is a small industry at the end of the day.
That's right.
And that one thing I can attest to, and you know this to be as factual as it could possibly be, whether you're a dealer with 1,000 employees or a dealer with 100, your problems are the same. Your challenges are the same. They're just magnified based on the fact you're larger versus you're smaller.
That's right.
So you can learn from a dealer who has 100 employees, just like you can learn from someone who's got 1,000 employees.
There's no question about it. And I have over the years, and as you said, you know, with some of those mega dealers that are out there, we need them at the table as well. We need them at the meetings because every small dealer wants to one day typically want to be a big dealer, you know, so there's a lot, you know, I see it as a way of dealers, not just taking ideas from it, but also giving back. You know, every dealer wants to know, you know, how to be successful. We can learn from one another. We've got that brotherhood and sisterhood in the industry, and no better place than at these association meetings that mean so much. And they've always done a lot for me in my career, and so I can't say enough about it. So for dealers out there, especially in Virginia, obviously, you know, mark your calendars. Tell us a little bit about the dates and the location again, so we'll put it on the screen.
Yeah, it's the Homestead up in the mountains of Virginia.
Great venue.
Most folks, obviously very drivable from that standpoint.
Sure.
It's June the 24th, and I think it's over the 27th.
Okay.
Up at the Homestead. So June 24th, end of the month. In Virginia, our governor has just released some new standards and will be even more in June, meaning we'll really not see much of COVID remaining in Virginia at that point. We may be wearing masks. We may have some fun with the types of masks people wear. But beyond that, we'll have a chance to be together as a group and a body. And again, with your listeners nationwide, most others have conventions, state associations as well.
That's right.
And please support them. And if you don't, because you don't like what they do, then change it. That's your responsibility.
I couldn't agree more. There's no question about it. It's like complaining about who's in office and yet, you know, you say, well, I didn't vote. Okay, well, you don't really get a chance to say then. You don't get a chance to complain, right? So dealers, Don's right, get involved. You know, that's the most important thing. You want to make change, you know, get out there and make change. You want to learn from other dealers and what they're doing to make them successful. This is also the place to go, your association conventions. And so we're going to see you out there, Don. I'm excited to be out there with Bridget, and you know, we'll have a lot of fun with it, but at the same time, make it a meaningful conference and convention for your people. So very exciting. So thank you for inviting us. Mr. Don Hall, President and CEO of the VADA, Virginia Automobile Dealers Association. It is always a pleasure. Our viewers get so much out of your meetings here today with me, or our meetings in the past. So thank you so much. I know, because I get the emails, you know, that Don Hall just said something that just, you know, stuck in my craw, and here's what I want to say about it. So, or hey, I'm totally on board with what Don's doing there in Virginia. So you get things stirred up in the industry, which is what we need more of, obviously. So thank you for all your contribution to CBT News.
Thank you, Jim. And again, as an industry, we need to grow, and we need to make sure we're out there embracing change and be leaders in the industry.
That's right. Amen to that. Have a great weekend, man.
Thank you, sir. Take care. Same to you.
Thanks for watching CBT News, the voice of the retail automotive industry. Fitzpatrick, Pash, Kane, Lewis, Greenfield, Reed, Dawson, Lopes, Rice. The best lineup in retail automotive. CBTNews.com. Subscribe today.